God is operating in the normal processes of time. So what are you talking about? God wants us to know that he's not always visible, but he's always working.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor at Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, glad you're with us as we continue our series, The ABCs of Prayer. Pastor, you just said that God wants us to know that he's not always visible, but he's always working. How can we know that he's working when we don't see what he's doing?
Because he said he was. That's it. I mean, we're not even going to get profound here, Steve, because he said he was. Passages like Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So God has promised to be intricately involved in my life, and he always is. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's with me always, even till the end of the age. And so I'm very confident of that very thing, the presence of God, that God is working. While I'm trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. And he's putting things in place that are going to produce the things that he desires to be produced in my life.
I want to ask your opinion about a phrase that I've heard a lot of Christians use then, because if God is at work, but we don't always see that, God doesn't always just hand us everything we want on a silver platter either. So you've probably heard the phrase, pray like it's all up to God, work like it's all up to you. Mm-hmm. Any truth to that? I mean, and where do you find the balance there? What does the Bible say about that?
There's some truth to that. I would say that they've taken it to the extreme. It's hyperbole. Work like it's all up to you. I don't work like it's all up to me because it's not all up to me, but I do work. Philippians chapter 2 says this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's verse 12. Then in verse 13, it starts with what's called in Greek an explanatory gar. Gar is the Greek word for for. I was taught by my Greek teacher here at Moody Bible Institute that when I see an explanatory gar, I should say the word reason. Hmm. So it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's not in justification, that's sanctification. Okay.
Right.
For it is God who works in you both to do of his good will and good pleasure. So he says two things. He says, you work out your own salvation, you get busy, but you don't act like you're the only one doing it. You need to understand God is working for his purpose and his pleasure. So here's what it means, Steve. The outcome may not make me happy, but God will be. The outcome may not be in my plan, but it is in his. Now, am I content to be the servant and let him be the Savior?
That is a provoking question right there for many of us to think about. So you can mull that over as you open your Bible and join us in Daniel chapter 9. And we continue the message, praying with an attitude of gratitude. Here's Pastor Ford.
Perception. God knows what to do. Might. And God has the power to do it. I like that. He knows what to do. He has the power to do it. Omnipotence and omniscience go together like a Coke and a smile. Whatever God knows to be done, he also is able to do it. And you contrast it with the wise men of Babylon, his wisdom. He contrasted his wisdom with the wise men of Babylon. Now who's he contrasting his might to? Nebi. He's just wiped them all. Back in the cowboy days, they were all in a saloon. And a guy came in. He said, give me a shot of sarsaparilla real quick. He said, I got to get out of town. They said, why are you leaving? Big John's are coming. And he took off. And they said, Big John's are coming. The second guy came in and said, give me a shot of whiskey real quick. Why are you leaving town? Big John's are coming. So everybody started running. Big John's are coming. Big John's are coming. Because down the street came a guy riding a bull that had three pistols on his side. And he had a big, long beard. He weighed about 320 pounds. And he was evil as I don't know what. cursing, all everything, came into the bar, grabbed the bottle, snapped the neck off with his teeth, drunk it, put it back on the bar, and started leaving. And the bartender said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Ain't you heard? Big John's are coming." "What's your point, preacher?" Because all of the people in chapter one, they're what? In the wise men in chapter two, they're afraid. They're afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. He seems to be Big John. But God is saying, listen, he's there because I placed him there. Oh. But wait a minute. Lest you think I made it up, I think I need to read it again. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings. Amen. Romans 13:1, government is ordained of God. That's why he told us in 1 Timothy 2, he said, pray for kings and those in authority over you. That's right. So, his power. God can do anything he wants to do. The theologian was talking to a young boy. He said, "Young man, if you tell me something God can do, I'll give you an apple." And the little boy said, "If you tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole basket of apples." His power. But then I want you to notice his program. We have an attitude of gratitude, and we ought to thank God for, well, you know what, let me digress before I go there, because I want to say a couple more things about that verse. When we look at it then, what should we do? Whose agenda is in our prayer? Is it our agenda or is it God's agenda? It says times and seasons. Now, times means the general seasons as opposed to specific. Peter said, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. If you contrast that with Daniel 7:25, you'll see that God does it. So notice what he says. He sets up, that's society. He giveth, that's the saints. So he sets up society. God says, that's domination. I dominate society. He giveth up saints, that's information. Let me see if I can get you to understand that, because we're going to need to close in a couple minutes. But listen, we're having a great time in the book of Joshua. Joshua, if you're from Mississippi. And, that's right, I got people from Mississippi. Arkansas. Florida. All right. So here's what we're talking about. We spent 3 Wednesday Bible studies on Joshua 10:1 and Joshua 11:1. The A part. Here's what it says. And it came to pass. We spent 2 hours studying, and it came to pass. Because what it tells us is that God is operating in the normal processes of time. So what are you talking about? God wants us to know that he's not always visible, but he's always working. So here's the scenario, so you'll get what I'm talking about. Well, we're studying Joshua in the southern kingdom. So it came to pass that Jabin brought 5 kings together, and they formed a coalition. Jericho, Ai, 1 battle, 2 battle. How many kings you have left? 6. So that means 6 more battles. But in the providence of God, God wanted them to all come together so he could wipe them out in one slot. You ain't got to extend this thing too much longer. So what did God do? God used human decision to unfold divine revelation. So what are you talking about? Jabin, God didn't tell him to do that. He used his free will to say, you know what, I'm going to tell these other guys, we got to get together because these boys are bad. They're going to jack us, do drive-by on us. Let's get together, man. And so they come together. And so what did God do? Joshua and his forces could not do anything with them. So God had the sun stand still. That's the language of appearance. And God rained down big snowballs with rocks in them. Anybody remember that? He used to put the rocks in there, you know, get somebody, you know. Y'all never did that? Oh, y'all all were good kids, huh? You were good. Anybody ever put a rock in a snowball? Okay, thank you. I ain't the only one. Anyway, so God, he killed them with hailstones. And so we went through the Bible looking at, and we don't have time to do that right now, but looking at the free will of man and the providence of God, and how providence is God saying, listen, I'm not visible, but I am not invisible. That I'm working even when it doesn't look to you like I'm working. Okay, case in point, answer this question for me. Caesar Augustus, Luke chapter 2, he says, I want some money. Did God put him up to that? No. He said, I want some money, so what I got to do is I'm going to tax people. Because when governments want money, they tax folk. I don't know what they're going to do about middle class now since they done wiped us out. My home ain't worth nothing. So kill the American dream. Now we only got rich and poor. That's all we got now, rich and poor. And you asked Brother Lyles about 15 years ago, I said, Brother Lyles, they're trying to get rich and poor in this country. I don't know how they're going to do it. But I tell you what, when it happens, it's not going to take a long time. It's going to happen overnight. And we was talking about, I said, you remember I told you that? What do they do? What's the American dream? Owning your own house. What do you need that gives you equity more than anything else? And most people have it. House, what'd they do? Wiped it out. I ain't got no equity. 401k become a 01k. Took all the poor man's money. You know, and so what did he want? He wanted it. But wait a minute, was God superintending that? Yes. Now, did he use his free will? Yes. But what did we see? The providence of God in the decisions of men. Because what happened? 2,000 years ago, Micah 5:2, he shall be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So then, what did the decree do? Mary and Joseph had to saddle up, pack up the hoopty, and roll down to Bethlehem. Why? Because God's word is settled forever in heaven. He says in Isaiah 43, have I not given you the end from the beginning? But he made the decision himself. So what do we call it? Providence.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., a message entitled Praying with an Attitude of Gratitude from our series, The ABCs of Prayer. Now, we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. Hey, we'd love to know how Pastor Ford's teaching is making a difference in your life. You can always give us your feedback on social media like Facebook or Twitter, but you can also click on the contact link when you come to our website. You can let us know where you're listening and how the Lord may be using it in your life, or even ask a question. Maybe something that Pastor Ford has said has raised a question in your life and you'd like to know his opinion about it. Well, you can do that when you come to the website, treasuretruthradio.org, and click on that contact link. And who knows? If you ask that question, maybe it'll be answered on a future broadcast. Again, one more time, treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Providence is God's invisible sovereign hand. So he's sovereign over everything. Theologians call it the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. I don't care what you call it. God's in charge. He's in charge. And so he sets up and he gives one. So the first one he sets up is based on relationship. The second one he gives is based on fellowship. What did he tell his disciples? He had an inner circle who knew things that the other didn't know. So what does it mean? This word, the root of this word, reveal, means to strip away the clothes of captives. That's what they would do. Write these down if you're taking notes. Deuteronomy 29:29. Secret things belonging to the Lord our God, but he's revealed them to us. So, Deuteronomy 29:29. Psalm 25:14. Psalm 25:14. Proverbs 3:22. Proverbs 3:22. Proverbs 3:22. John 15:15. John 15:15. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Let me say them again. Deuteronomy 29:29. Psalm 25:14. Proverbs 3:22. John 15:15. 1 Corinthians 2:16. So you know what John says, John 15:15 and 16. Jesus said, he said, you are my friends He said, because a master does not tell his servants what he's going to do. But I told you, because you are my friends. So friends get information that other people don't get. And guess what? I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Amen. So I don't have to sing it. I can just say it. Now, when you look at the New Testament, let me give you the three words. Because this word revealeth is really, it's the same thing. Can't be acquired through any means other than the Lord. But here's the words in the New Testament. Epiphaneia. Say epiphaneia. Epiphaneia. It speaks of the second coming. All these speak of the second. Then apocalypsis. Okay. And then parousia. Okay, here's these three words. They're all translated revelation or manifestation. But whenever epiphanalia is used, it speaks of the second coming, the revealing of his program. So it's used in Revelation chapter 1, where the Alpha and Omega, talking about his person, is written out. But if you put on your Greek glasses and see where it talks about the unfolding of the program, the Alpha is written out in the latter part of the verse when he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I think it's verse 8. Or verse 11, the Alpha and Omega, it's not written out. Alpha's written out. Omega is just the capital letter. Why is it written out when it talks about who he is, which is to come? Because his person is complete. But why is the Alpha not written out in the latter part of the chapter? Because the program's not complete. And he's about to give us the completion of the program right now. He said, this is what the end is going to be like. And so that is apocalypsis, which would be the equivalent of this Hebrew word here. Apocalypsis means to snatch the cover off of somebody, to reveal something that could never be understood. So then the epiphaneia program, apocalypsis, precepts. And then parousia, the person of Christ. So if you just do this contrast, and then we'll stop, okay? Do this contrast. Verse 21 and 22. Contrast them. He giveth, verse 21. He revealeth, verse 22. So verse 21, illumination. Verse 22, revelation. Verse 21, the discernment of it. Verse 22, the discovery of it. Verse 21, application. Verse 22, inspiration. Verse 21, general revelation. Verse 22, special revelation. Verse 21, the human spirit. Verse 21, the human spirit. Verse 22, the Holy Spirit. Now let me back it up and go back the other way for those of you taking notes. In verse 21, the human spirit. Verse 22, the Holy Spirit. That's the focus. In verse 21 is general revelation. What's general revelation? General revelation is the revelation that God gives to all men. There are two of them, and they both start with C. Give them to me. Creation and conscience, an outward witness and an inward witness. And then a special revelation, verse 22, two kinds, all both start with S. What are they? Scriptures and the Savior. So then, 21, application, verse 22, inspiration is the focus. So in verse 21, the discernment of the information. Verse 22, the discovery of the information. So then verse 21, illumination. Verse 22, a revelation. So he giveth, he revealeth. That's some powerful, powerful stuff. That God wants us to be grateful. First and foremost, based on who he is. You know, we could all take a page from my grandchildren. They know how to work a brother. They really do. They're good at it. They learned it from my wife. She know how to work a brother. I work for, man, my wife, man, she play me like a violin. She tell me all the time, you a good man. I said, well, thank you, baby. I mean it. You're a good provider. You're a good husband. You're a good father. You're a good lover. You say that again, baby? You're a good lover. She just go through. And, you know, I didn't really figure it out because every time she does that, you want to go buy something. And I figured it out. Instead of just saying, you know, I want to dress or I want to. She said, you know what? All I got to do is work him a little bit. And so now my grandkids, you know, I'll get them something. You know, I don't think anybody has a papaw like you. You are just, I say, you want McDonald's, don't you? And do you know what? Now listen, now you may think, I mean, I know it's a little humorous, but read that scripture. Read it. What does scripture tell us? When we appreciate God for who he is, God says, I love to hear. Why do you think it says that God dwells? The word dwell literally means to be at home, to make your crib there. Why do you think God makes his crib in the midst of the praises of his people? Because he's the only one that when we say you all that, he's the only one that can really say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you know that, and you acknowledge that. You know what? I got to break you off a piece. I got to break you off. And I'm telling you, scriptures teach it. That folk who understood who he was, he said, I can trust you with some stuff because you acknowledge me for who I am. Let me ask you as I close. We come to pray. Are we remiss in counting our blessings? Are we remiss in our failure to comprehend James 1:17? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and opportunity to study about prayer. We ask that you will allow us to acknowledge who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor James Ford. Today's message is entitled Praying with an Attitude of Gratitude. It's from our series, The ABCs of Prayer. And if you want a copy of today's message or the complete series, visit our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. Well, you're hearing this program today because of the generous support of our loyal monthly partners, those who give sacrificially to ensure that Christ-centered programming like Treasure Truth remains on the air. And today, when you become a monthly partner by auto-gift at a level of $30 or more, we're going to say thanks with a 50% discount to Moody Publishers. This ongoing discount is good for as long as you remain a monthly partner. You can use it as many times as you want, on as many resources as you'd like. From books to Bibles, Christian fiction, CDs, DVDs, and more. There's something for everyone. Become a monthly partner today and receive this 50% discount. Call us at 888-644-7660 or go online to treasuretruthradio.org. At Moody Radio, it's our goal to help you grow in your faith, whether you're listening to the radio or studying on your own. And with the resources available from Moody Publishers, you can pursue a wide variety of topics relating to God, the Bible, and Christian living. And as a monthly partner, your 50% discount allows you to choose from a great number of resources designed to help you flourish in your walk with Christ. Become a monthly partner today when you call 888-644-7660 or go to treasuretruthradio.org. Well, I'm Steve Hiller. Our producers are Amy Rios, Mark Bretta, and Nathan McMillan. Join us again Friday as we continue our study of prayer with Pastor Ford on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.